Pascal said this, inside the heart of every person that has ever been born, there is a God-shaped vacuum. Augustine said, Lord, you have made us for yourself. Now listen carefully. And our hearts are restless until they find you.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Without Excuse, as our study from the Epistle of Romans continues. Now, Pastor Bill.
I'm talking about creation, guys. September, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go outside and keep your eyes looking straight up. Becky and I, last year, we were outside, and you know how you have cotsies lay around talking, you know, and there we were, and it was about, 10 o'clock or something, and we were talking, and she was looking up, and I was just trying to sleep or something. And she said, look. And I said, what is it? She said, go get the binoculars. I went and got the binoculars. Listen to me now. There were hundreds of thousands of the raptor family, you know, raptors, you know, meaning the hawks and the eagles and the ospreys and the falcons, hundreds of thousands of them in a line, I mean, coming across right over our house. I mean, all these different birds, and you had to have the binoculars to see them all, and they were all different. And there they were going, I don't know where they were going, but they were going someplace. Well, this is going to happen again in September. Well, how do they know to do that? That's God. God's created all these things. Listen, creation shouts to man. Look at verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, because of all the truths about creation and within their conscience and all of that, he says, although they knew God, that's not speaking that they were born again or they had salvation. It says, although that they knew God, they had a visible knowledge that there was a creator because of the creation, because of the conscience within them. They knew enough about God to know that they should glorify him. But what did they do? What does man do? They did not glorify him as God. They did not honor him as God. They did not give God his rightful place, just like I didn't give God his rightful place when I was lost, before I was ever saved. No, they knew enough about him, and it says they did not glorify him as God. But watch this. Neither were they what? Thankful. Gosh. You know, when man fails to honor God, they always fail to give him thanks. There's nothing worse than the ungratefulness of man. You know, I see all the things that I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the winter wind when it finally comes around. Maybe it's September, you'll feel just a little change in the wind. Or I'm thankful for a hot day. I'm thankful. But I tell you what I'm really thankful for. I love food, don't you? You know, my wife, we have these tomatoes in the yard. She grows tomatoes, organic, really. And she'll go out and get them. And then in the morning for breakfast, you know, you fix the eggs and the sausage, you know, or turkey burger, whatever you call it. Tofu, I mean, I don't know what it is. You think it's meat, but you don't know, okay? But man, you slice, and those tomatoes are so ripe. You know, you sprinkle a little salt and pepper on them up there, and they just, the taste. I can taste them right now. And you know what she does with them? She makes a tomato pie. Anybody ever had a tomato pie? Oh, Lord, they've sinned. I'm going to bring a tomato pie one day and let you sample it. You'll feel sinful if you eat it. Listen, let's get going here. I got off track. Look at the next one. It says they became futile, empty. They became worthless. They became no true wisdom. Where? In their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That means they rejected the light. It means their minds became enslaved, and now their thinking is going to be characterized by darkness instead of God's truth, which is light. See, God made it plain. Without them, the creation, within them, their conscience and their hearts and so forth. But that word, look at it now, became futile. Man started in the garden. They didn't start out low We didn't come out of a primal swamp. You know what I'm trying to say? No, we started high and then went low. That's what happened to us. And man has been moving away from God, loved one, ever since. Did you know that we were created? God created man and woman in the garden to have dominion. Not for the world and not for sin to have dominion over them, but for them to rule, for them to reign. You know what's really so sad? You know, we look at our bodies today and we say, well, we look all right. No. We fail to see the wreckage from the past. We fail to look back to the garden and see what we really, really used to be. And then out of that darkness, you know what happened? It was the refusal to acknowledge God. And look what happens when you do that. Verse 22, quickly. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. In the Greek, that word is moros. We get our word moron. The fool, Psalm 14:1, the fool, in Hebrew, that's Nabal, meaning fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what a fool does. The fool says that. And so, you know, and they started professing themselves to be wise about God. They started professing themselves to be wise about creation. And yet God says, no, you are a bunch of fools. You know, last Friday, I read the newspaper. Let me read this to you. It says science educator, whatever he is, Bill Nye. You know, Bill Nye, the science guy. Y'all follow me? Now, if you're a fan of his, I'm not trying to beat him up, but let me finish. Bill Nye was given a private tour of the $100 million, 500-foot-long Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Here's what he called the Ark. You ready? He called the Ark a danger to the nation's science education. He didn't stop there. You ready? He hoped that the Ark would never be built because it would indoctrinate children into this extraordinary and outlandish, unscientific point of view. You know what God says? Moron. No, that's what God says. He's a moron. I'm not trying to be rude about it. He says, you know, that's just the way it is. See, the greatest fool in the world is one who exchanges God's wisdom for the wisdom of this world. That's the greatest fool in all the world. See, fallen man, listen, is always religious, and they're always looking for religion. You know, there's a nation upon this earth that there are people that are in our church right now, the missionaries, that they serve. They go to India. They go over there and they pour their lives and they're building things, from building up people, trying to build buildings and so. And they spend months over there. They go over and they're fasting and praying. They're doing an incredible work. But did you know that India, when you think about it, and I look at the great people, they're wonderful people. They're good people. We could go to any nation and say, they're good people, they're honest people. But whenever you find people worshiping gods that are not real, it puts them in bondage, it puts them in slavery. You know, according to the United Nations report that I just read this weekend, talking about India, for example, it says that they're the home to 194.6 million undernourished people, the highest in all of the world. That's what the United Nations said. But when you think of the bondage that false religions can put you in, I mean, think of it. I mean, there's millions that are starving, yet there's 200 million head of cattle that are there. But they're sacred. You can't touch them. You can't eat them or anything like that. That's heartbreaking. But you see what bondage that false religion can put you in. I look around and I say, oh God, look what happens in verse 23. Watch this now. And it says, what did they do? These professing to be wise, but they came fools and they changed, or literally they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Here it comes. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Do you think that's an insult to God? You know, I mean, think about that. They traded a God and they said, well, I'd rather have a snake than God. I would rather have this block of wood. I'd rather have the Dallas Cowboys or. And look at that last one, creeping things. You know what that is? That's a bug. A bug. What is it? This verse disturb you? This is the word of God. I go, wait a minute. When man stops the worship of God, what do they do? The first thing they do, they worship self. And after that, look all through the religions of the world. Finally, they digress after they do that. And then man makes a false god, which is less than himself. Watch it now. It goes from man in verse 23 to birds, to animals or reptiles, and finally to a bug. What is that? What would cause any person to bow down to an insect? Think about that for a minute. Or to carve a snake anything and bow down and say, you're my God. And you say, Bill, that's insanity. Really? It's happening in America today. What causes that? Why would a man worship a bug instead of God? I'm going to tell you now, listen very carefully. You know what? Voltaire said it this way, God made man in his image, and man returned the favor, made his own image. Pascal said this. He said that inside the heart of every man, every woman, every person that has ever been born, he said there is a God-shaped vacuum. Augustine said, Lord, you have made us for yourself. Now listen carefully. And our hearts are restless until they find you. But the Word of God inputs it this way in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says that God has put eternity in the heart of every man, of every woman, of every person that has ever been born. God did that on purpose. We have a guest that lives in every heart, that little baby, the Kendall that we just prayed over. God already in her heart right now, eternity, God put it right there in her heart. Why did God do that? Well, first of all, it tells us why man worships other things. See, he wants the eternal things, why eternity's in his heart. That's why he's got to find something to cling to, something to look to, something to worship. It could be money, it could be power, it could be sex, whatever it might be. But he has to find it. Why? There's a vacuum there. But God put it there for one reason. So you would search for him. See, God loves us. He loves us with all of his heart. God doesn't hate man. He doesn't hate anyone. He wants everyone to be saved. What does he do? He said, I've got to put something there. At least they'll start seeking after me because man, of his own volition, he doesn't want me. He doesn't want to do what's right. He doesn't want to live a righteous life. Why? Because we were born in sin. Listen, no one ever had to tell you how to lie. This side won't answer. No, come on. No one had to teach you. Did anyone ever say, let me show you how to lie? Let me teach you how to really be selfish. No, it's already there. Why? We were born in sin. Listen, you know, mankind, they so desperately want something. And they can't figure it out, even though God's made it plain to them. That's why when the church is removed from the earth, as the Bible teaches, and when the 70th week of Daniel happens, the time of Jacob's trouble, which is called the Great Tribulation period, when the wrath of God is being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Loved one, listen to me. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says that all those who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those people have taken the mark, it says in the book of Revelation. It says in Revelation 13, 4, it says, so they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, and gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, that's the Antichrist, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Why is all the world going to do that? Are they crazy? No, because every person that's born inwardly, they're searching, they're seeking, they want God. And God wants them. Man began at the top. Boy, we began at the Garden of Eden. And oh, how messed up it became when man walked out of the garden, when God closed off that way. The world became so bad. Remember Genesis 4:25, it says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Things was pretty good until that point because they only believed in one God. But it didn't take long after that that the world became so wicked and every thought and intent of their heart, God says, was evil. Every thought, everything they thought was evil. God says, I have to destroy the world. He destroyed the whole world except for 8 people, Noah and his family. Noah and them goes into the new world. And what happens? Everything is fine for a while. He builds an altar and he offers a burnt offering unto the Lord, sweet smelling sacrifice to God. But then by chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, what happens? Man is up to it again. He walks away from God and he builds a Tower of Babel, which is filled with all the zodiac, all the signs of the stars and the planets. It's a ziggurat. They go way, way high. And they would go up there and worship the sun, the moon, the stars. Man will worship anything because God put in their heart eternity. I tell you something, without God, a person will go and worship anything. They have that bent in them. Even God's own people in the Old Testament, what destroyed them? Idolatry. What sent them into Babylonian captivity? Idolatry. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, they all was idolatry. What did God tell them? He said this in Jeremiah 10:2. He said, listen, thus saith the Lord. He said, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. In other words, stay away from people that don't know God. He says, don't be dismayed at the signs of the heavens. In other words, he's talking about the comets, and they were looking at the sky for the signs and so forth. He says, for the Gentiles, they're dismayed, for the customs of the people are empty. Now listen to this. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. So what did they do with the tree? They decorated it with silver and gold. They fastened the tree with nails and hammers so the tree won't fall over. Can you imagine anyone going into the forest, cutting down a tree, taking it to their house, and putting icicles on it, man? What's the deal here? I'm joking. Golly, you're serious. But can you believe? That's not even talking about Christmas trees. That's the book of Jeremiah. That Christmas trees weren't even around then. What I'm saying is that man will do anything. They'll worship anything. Now listen, loved one, where is all that going to lead? Well, next Sunday, that's when we're going to find out. Because whenever you have a society that is given over to self and so forth, whenever men and women begin to worship the creature instead of the creator, the answer tells us in verse 24, and I'm not going to go into that very deeply, but look what it says. Therefore, God also gave them up. Now listen, God gave them up. God said it's over. He abandoned them. That is a judicial decision by God to say to man, you're not going to come with me, are you? You don't want me. Then I'm going to just finally let you go, and whatever you want to do, you can do. Listen, when I hear people say to me, and this is a common question to every pastor, Bill, what about the poor, innocent people, say, in Africa, the lost tribes that have never heard about Jesus Christ? My response to them, I'm saying, that's not a question that I need to answer. What? They've never heard about the Lord. What's going to happen to them? I said, I'm sorry, but that's not a good question. They said, well, why is that not a good question? I said, because you said innocent people. There are no innocent people. Do you understand? See, there's no one. The whole world is guilty before God. The whole world is without excuse. Everyone is guilty. See, listen, people of their own volition today, they go to hell. And the Bible says that God didn't create hell for man. He created for the devil and his angels, Matthew 24:41. Now, but people go to hell, you know why? Because we were born in Adam and we refused to the one who could get us out of Adam. Does that make sense? See, in Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. We can't help being that we're in the Adams family, okay? But we don't have to stay in the Adams family, do we? No, come on. You know what I'm saying? No, we don't have to stay there. You see, it's our sin that God hates. He doesn't hate the person, but he can't save you. He can't take you to heaven. God can't allow sin to go into heaven. Does that make sense? So what does he do? He says, listen, I'm going to send my son. He's going to take your place. He's going to die your death. He's going to take your iniquity, your transgression. He's going to take your sin. I'm going to lay it upon him. If you'll just believe in me, if you'll believe in my son, what he's done for you, if you'll ask him to be the Lord of your life, if you'll do that, if you'll let him come into your heart and make you a new creation where you're no longer an Adam, where now you're in Christ, and now you're my daughter, you're my son, if you'll do that, here's what God does. This is the gospel. He imputes to you, he gives to you into your account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at you now that you're in Christ, he sees you just as if you'd never sinned. That's called the doctrine of justification. You see, God's not mad at anyone. He's mad at sin. He hates what sin does, how it destroys families and destroys our young people and how it's destroying our nation. God says, I want you to come to my son. I want you to live. The Bible tells us in John 14, 6, and I know it's time to go, you know, but listen to me. Jesus said, you know, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm not a truth. I am the truth. No one can come to the Father. No one can go to heaven. No one can be saved unless it's through me. I took your place. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And here's the thing. Once you're saved, you say, well, Bill, what if I blow it? Oh, thank God it says, if anyone sins, we can confess our sins. And God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, and when I look and I say, God, you're so good. Acts 4:12 says there's not any other name given unto man under heaven by which they can be saved. Man is without excuse. Now listen very carefully. If you're here this morning, you're listening live right now. Maybe you're sitting in your car. Maybe you're sitting at home. I don't know. People in the chapel, they're in the overflow area. I don't know. But listen to me. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, number one, creation just told you there is a God. And even within your heart, your conscience, God has written his law there. He's written eternity in your heart. He loves you so much. But if you don't receive Christ, now you have double jeopardy. What do I mean? Well, creation has spoken to you. Your heart has spoken to you. And now you've heard the gospel. To reject Christ, there's no other sacrifice for sin. There's no other way to heaven. You're now held accountable for the truth you've just heard. As we bow our heads and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying, Father, I thank you for those that are present this morning. I thank you that there's a holy stillness taking place in the chapel this very moment. And Lord God, I thank you for everyone that's present. I'm not asking anyone to get out of their chair. I'm not asking anyone to come to this altar. But what I am asking this, if you do not know Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, come to him now. Well, you say, Bill, how do I do that? If you will pray this prayer with me right now, God will save you. He'll save you right this minute. He'll save you. If you don't know the Lord, listen, pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, I've just heard the truth. I know there's a God, but I've tried to suppress it. But right now, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And you've raised him from the dead. You promised in your word, if I would confess him as my Lord and I would believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. If you prayed that prayer, don't come down here. Just this between you and God and me right now. Just lift your hand up to the Lord and say, I prayed that prayer, and put it right back down. That's all you have. Yes, God bless you. I see that. Yes. Anyone else that say, Bill, I prayed that prayer this morning, right this minute. Put your hand up, put it right back down. Oh, Father, I thank you for those that prayed that prayer. I thank you that they just left the kingdom of darkness and they belong to the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, for the baptisms that are about to happen. I thank you for the people that just were born from above. And God, you're so good. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says.
We hope you won't miss any of these messages from Romans. It's a great study with so much to learn. So be sure and join us tomorrow for the message, When God Gives Up. And again, we thank you for listening to Love Never Fails, and we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.